This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, normal service has been resumed after and winning and losing. We're back to the draws again. We're back to the, what is that now? Three nil nils in five games, something like that. Anyway, what did we make of today? What did we make of today? You let me know. There was lots to enjoy, and then obviously there was also the game. But I think the first thing we probably have to say is Dan Backman, what a performance, much maligned and often on occasions with reason and with kind of with evidence about things not doing well. Today he had a performance that made the difference. I think it's fair to say without that goalkeeping performance, and not necessarily the penalty, but certainly there was one in the second half that he really did put himself on the line for. Fair play. So look, if you give it when he's not doing well, you've got to say fair play when he performed. And boy, did he perform. It was really something. Obviously, the highlight of the game for most people, I am sure, would have been the halftime. Surely it must have been the halftime. When Wendover Horn Greg, stepped up for the Mr. Q challenge and momentarily, when asked where he came from, forgot and then went, oh no, Wendover. Well, let's get across to Greg, who I'm sure is currently sitting in the West Hearts car park, just regaling himself about the time when he got the nearest to scoring for Watford on the pitch. Greg, mate, how you doing? Well done.
Yes, Pete. Hi, mate. Yeah, I nearly said Chesham.
You did?
Because I'm from Chesham, and I nearly said Chesham. Originally, we moved to Wendover. Oh, why did we move?
Eight years ago.
So, yeah, I nearly said Chesham, but that's the nerves. I think, bless him, the guy that went in before me, who fell over, that took all the pressure off, to be honest. When he fell over, that took the pressure off for me, and I think I did all right.
you did all right, bearing in mind that Greg is a Patreon group, and thank you to all the Patreons as ever. But yeah, we've been giving him right load of shit for the last couple of days since he found out with the phrase OMG exclamation mark, I'm doing this. And he has been panicking since. So no, well done.
Yeah.
It was good fun, but I did laugh when you went, oh no, Wendover. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I wanted to be asked my favourite player, but I wasn't. So.
Let's do that here. Let's recreate it as if I'm the Tannoy announcement. I'm Richard Walker. I'm saying, so Greg, you come from Wendover. That's plain. Who's your favourite Watford player?
Big Reg.
Oh, I see. You got that prepared, ready for a reaction, had you? Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. No, Big Reg, and followed by Jezza and Gakia.
Yeah, well, let's talk about
the heavily strapped Jezza Ngakia. Did all right, actually, Pete, when he came on.
He did all right. Whatever it is these days, you've either got holes in your socks or you've got strapping around them that basically stops just south of your groin. Yeah, he was very well strapped to pieces, but did make a positive impact when he came on. That was good to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, he looked good. Yeah, it is consistency with Jezza, isn't it? If you can keep him fit and keep him on the pitch at this level, he's okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that is a big if, isn't it? Can you keep him fit is a big if. But on today's cameo, he did well. Yeah, today I think if you've got a glass half full, you're going to say it's another no, half empty, you're going to say it's another home game without a win. If your glass is half empty, well, whichever way. If you're positive, yep, you're going to say, yeah, look, there's a base to work from there. There is a base to work from next season with some player rotation. There's something to work from. Our shooting was woeful today, was it not? Our shooting was that effort by Martins. He had so much time and dreadful. But I've seen a lot of goalkeeping displays over the years at Watford, and Tony Cote and some of his performances were absolutely fantastic. But that performance today by Backers is up there. That, if you're marking him out of 10, he's probably got a 10 today. He was absolutely tremendous.
He was he had a fine performance, and obviously the key to it, as ever, is always trying to see if you can have consistency. But obviously, if he had consistency, we probably wouldn't have him if he was able to replicate that.
Correct.
The question is always, you're as good as your last game. And he's had some games where, you know, since this run with Tom, where he's done all right, he's done okay. But we know that he's got certain kind of foibles, but not today. Today, we absolutely have to sing it loud. He was, I think, man of the match by a country mile. And had he not been on the pitch, despite us having pushing for goals, a goal at the end, etc., we would have probably been on the end of a 2 or a 3-0 there, because obviously there was the penalty, etc. Now, you mentioned there Tony Cote, and I've written down here just as my first thoughts when I come in, Dan Backman, what a performance. And my question for everybody is, who is your favourite Watford goalkeeper, or the best Watford goalkeeper, other than Tony Coton? So if you talk to anybody who's been going since the 80s, you're not going to get away from Tony Coton, I would suggest, but other people might prove me wrong. But other than Tony Coton, who would you say is your favourite or best goalkeeper that you've seen playing for Watford?
I'd go for Kevin Miller, but I think he would struggle in today's game because his kicking wasn't great. But no, I'd go for Kevin Miller.
Kevin Miller. We've had one vote for Kevin Miller. I like that. I like that very much indeed. It was also lovely to see everybody. Now, there has been, if you haven't picked up on it already, but somebody might want to come on and talk about it, but the news went out that the bunker, that somebody had reported the bunker with people having drinks outside of it, because obviously the bunker is so large, only so large, and people will come and stand outside and have a drink, and therefore that's been contained. Now, we've got hopeful news that that could be sorted, hopefully sooner than later would be nice, but chances are, obviously, with only one game, it might not be until next season, but we would hope that would be the case. But for other reasons, we were in the Red Lion today. Nothing to do with the guys at the bunker. We'll be back down there very shortly as well, and looking to support all establishments who are doing the Watford stuff. But it was lovely to see loads of people up there. Mark and Jane were there. Thank you so much for saying hello. Lebowski was there with the blue cheese, with a man who will now forever be known as Edgar Davids, for he had the glasses and the very same. We saw the Cripses, not just the one, but two, because as we all know, Cripses hunt in packs. And also, Carl Campion, the Campions were there. Carl, happy birthday ahead of tomorrow, where for his birthday, he's going to run 19 kilometres. Run 19 kilometres? Greg, I wouldn't drive 19 kilometres on my birthday. But there we are. Never mind. What are you thinking? Final thoughts. The game next week, our last home game, will we get the win, or are we going to be going into the close season thinking, when's a win going to come?
Yeah, I think we'll get a win next week. Let's go all out attack next weekend. I think we'll get a win. To be fair, Pete, I've forgotten who we've got.
Sunderland. We have Sunderland. We'll be.
Well, it's a dead rubber for them as well. Let's go and have a go at them.
Well, we'll be recording. We'll I be recording so. Probably on Monday night. An opposition view, probably with Ant, who we like from a thinly veiled opportunity to have a kind of a load of nonsense, but normal, and see where the prediction league takes us.
Yeah. You know. In summary, Pete, there's something to work on there for next season. There's a base. I think we're not far from being a good side, but it needs additions. It certainly needs some additions and some people leaving it. Martins, Jamal Lewis, and maybe a few more. Let's see. But there's something to work from, I think. He's got us all together, I think. And I'm going with Tom. I'm so hope he gets the job. He probably needs a win, but there's something to work from there, Pete.
Just a couple of things. One, obviously, we have to say hello to Mrs. Wendover, for we're sure that she's in the car, because let's face it, Mrs. Wendover, you're the only one who will be there to tell Wendover that, yes, he does indeed live in Wendover and has done for 8 years. He momentarily had selective amnesia on the pitch, but that's fine, because...
That's his age.
Well, yes, exactly. I think he's about my age. Stop with all of that nonsense. But anyway, normally everybody knows I will leave the five-word reviews and the long forms until the end of what we very roughly call a show. But I'm gonna read one for you there. Greg has mentioned Martin's opportunity, and Harry H.J. Clark 95's five-word review was, Wendover would have scored Martin's chances. And let's face it, based on halftime, you probably would have done. There you go. Yeah. I'm sorry, but Matthias Martins, old Pat, as we like to call him, yeah, nil. Greg won. Well done. Well done indeed. Well done indeed. Excellent. Have a good evening, all. Cheers, mate. Take care. Let's get across to Reza or Reza. I'm going to pronounce it badly. This is the case. Reza, so if you hit your mic, there you go. How are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, Reza, you're absolutely perfect, mate. Absolutely perfect.
Oh,
thank you.
Fantastic.
So,
fantastic.
Sorry about the noise. We're just in the golden line.
Oh,
and after the game,
yeah.
So it's been an interesting 0-0 draw, isn't it? It's been end-to-end stuff. So what have I got to say? Oh, he was fantastic. Dan Backman was absolutely fantastic today. Honestly, absolutely fantastic. He was the best game I've seen him all season.
I couldn't agree more. He also did it at key times. Obviously, a penalty against Ozan Tufan. You're doing a solid there for the supporters. I think we can all take that. But the one where he went in at the end and he basically took a knock because he stuck his head in where it hurt, that was a solid, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, brilliant. I've been very vocal on some groups about him and how I didn't think he should be in the squad. Yeah. There's critics of Batman, but today he's blown me away, and I'm gonna be honest. He was an absolute stalwart in goal today. You can't knock him. But other than Backman, I really enjoyed Martins coming on. I don't think he's had enough time under Cleverley. He had how he missed that at the end to make it 1-0, I don't know. But yeah, he had a really good game. I really don't understand why he hasn't had as many minutes under Cleverley as I'd have thought. I really thought he should have done a bit more. But no, he had a great game. Who else have I got? Lewis, I'll drive him to Newcastle myself, mate. If he's Premier League, mate, I'm up there. I'm up in League Two, mate, and I can't kick for shit, honestly. So to see Semmer come on, what a breath of fresh. Actually, what I like about Semmer, he just wants to get up there. He just wants to drive forward, get the ball in the box. He don't want to dick around, final third, backwards, forwards. He just wants to get it in, and I love that. That's what we need. And when you've got players like Rajovic, who's like an absolute giraffe, you need to be getting the ball in the box, don't you? You don't want to be dicking around. So it was nice to see. Lovely to see Semmer back. Great. Also, old Jezza. Oh, and Gaki, nice to see him back after all the recent, what shall we say?
Fun and games, yes.
No comment is probably the word.
Always.
Comment is the word to you. But no, nice to see him back. But no, look, it's been a great game. It's nice to be back at the Vic. I haven't done a few home games for a while for various reasons. But yeah, it's nice to come back. And my only worry is we keep saying it's a great game. This was this, we did that. But draws aren't, if nothing changes and we keep Cleverley next season, I don't want 46 points after 46 draws. We need to, something needs to change. We need to get something up the final. I love Tom Cleverley. He's a bit of a club legend. But what I don't want to see is Watford ruin his career. We do the usual, don't back him. He ends up getting no support. And I don't want to see that negativity for him. If we're going to give him the job, and I hope we do, there needs to be some support in the final third. We need to see some investment. That's really my key. If we're going to give Cleverley the job, great. We've seen what he can do. But let's face it today, there's just nothing really in. We lack a lot of quality in the final third. Bayo today, he holds the ball up, yeah, but nothing for me today, nothing at all. So Rajovic, you can see with Rajovic, there is a player in there. There is something in there. If someone works hard with him over the summer, I could see him actually doing something next season. We really need to put something into him next season because there's definitely a player in there. Goals speak for themselves, but when you come on, in fairness, that's probably the best 18 minutes of football I've ever seen Rajovic play.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I thought he came on and was more of a handful for the centre-backs than he has been previously. I appreciate that's going from a low bar, but the thing that a month or two ago, we got to speak to Troy Deeney, and of course, he knows an awful lot about what a centre-forward has to do in terms of the ugly stuff and the back to goal, and was talking about what he would think ideally around Rovic, and people have come back and said, well, no, I don't think he needs to do that, or I don't think... But you're right, I think somebody to work with him individually, whatever that plan is, whether or not it's bulk him up or whether or not it's working with him in different ways, what have you, we'll see what we get. But lovely stuff indeed.
Sorry, I've absolutely got no...
Oh, we've lost him again. We've lost Reza again. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, look, Reza, great call first of all. Love it, because I'm glad that somebody enjoyed the game, even if it's a nil. It wasn't the Preston nil, but it was. So there was enough to get our teeth into. But hey ho, there we go. Reza, lovely stuff. Let's get Rich on, and then we're going to be coming to Oz, who, by my reckoning, should be sunning himself somewhere, I reckon. I may be wrong. Rich, what did you make of proceedings today? Mr. Backman seems to be getting the plaudits, and second place for man of the match currently is Wendover Horn, which seems a little bit off, but never mind. What did you think of today?
Yeah, I'm still doing the editing of the video for the half time. The roll of the ball was fantastic, and in if only one of those chances that fell to Martins fell to Greg's right foot, then we'd be talking Tom's first victory, I've no doubt. But I enjoyed the game actually. I didn't enjoy the second. The first half wasn't fantastic. It was a bit disappointing. It didn't really catch fire at all. It looked very pre-season-ish in the first half. I think when the substitutions were made by both teams, particularly Tom, credit to him, it livened us up a bit, and we had some cracking chances. And yeah, I hear one or two people criticising Martins for the miss, and I understand it, but if you look at the move itself, it was a brilliant ball from Martins to Asprilla in the first place. He created it, looking to go forward. Asprilla passed a lovely ball to him and he buggered it up, which was unfortunate. I'm personally disappointed in Asprilla. I thought he had, I know he had three in the second half, because I'm right behind it, and he's not hit the target at all. They've hit the rookery stanchions twice. And in the first half, his naivety when he goes inside not to go down, when you already seen a referee give a penalty for somebody he dives, come on, teach these guys how to play football. Because if you've got something about you, he's got touched in the penalty box. He's got go down, it's a penalty. I don't like diving, but we had it done to us by a streetwise professional in, I think it was Philogene. Well, no, it wasn't. It was Carvalho, sorry. And 5 minutes later, the same thing's happening to Asprilla, and he stays on his feet and buggers it up. And I think for somebody who's muted to be our best form of getting money in the transfer window, he needs to be better. And he's a big player for Watford, and his shooting was pretty dreadful today, I must say. But there we go. I'll give credit to Batman. I'm not a fan. It's not going to change my view one game. And getting excitable about comparing him even to a Tony Cone performance is, well, okay, I'm not going to go there. His kicking is still dreadful, and twice he kicked the ball straight to him. But great penalty save, and he did his job. And fair play to him, and credit where it's due, and well done. And yes, rightly, probably man of the match. I hate giving goalkeepers man of the match, because it suggests that the opposing team were likely to win the game, and that game was every bit of a draw. Nobody particularly deserved to win the game. Nobody deserved to lose it. So
I think that's very fair, but I think it's a draw because our errant finishing and our goalkeeper.
Yeah,
that's how I would look at it. And I agree with you. One swallow does not a summer make. No. I don't think anybody's imagining that it is that. In fairness to Dan Backman, he's taken some stick recently. And in fairness, I think it's important that we do turn around and say exactly as you just said there, beautifully described. He did his job. He did what he is there to do, and he did it very well. And well played, sir. Well played. Credit, good performance it was.
Yeah, I thought there was some noticeable decent performances. I thought they kept in there. We had a referee who couldn't wait to book everybody, but also a referee that was never going to send anyone off. He was just a pedantic, poor referee that slowed the game up, in my opinion, and I thought it was very disappointing performance from the officials yet again in this league. But on the positives, I stand by what I said about Tom. I think there's something there. Yeah, he needs a few wins. Of course he does, but you look at the games that Tom Cleverley has been put in charge of. Yes. We've had Leeds, we've had Southampton, we've had Hull, we've had Birmingham away, which okay, and Ipswich away. Now, Ipswich, Leeds, Southampton, Hull, and he's come away with that with one defeat in the last seconds of the game last week. Come on, boys. If he'd had five, six games against the mid to bottom teams, I'm sure there'd be some victories amongst that. And I think we need to be very, as I said last week, careful that we don't let what potentially is a very good coach slip through our fingers. And I think they need to sort it out quickly. Hopefully they've done it already behind the scenes. They've got him in place. They've got the plan for next season. They let him be involved in recruitment. It's absolutely crucial that he's involved in it. If we're letting Nani and all the clowns in our recruitment team just bring in players willy-nilly and don't let the manager have a say, then we'll just stay where we are. We all know where we need players. It stands out like a sore thumb. What little money we're going to have to play with, we've got to be cute. We've got to get in some rough diamonds from maybe the first division or whatever, and anything that's floating around in the championship, and some good loans somewhere. And there's something to build in. And Tom's got, he's got the foresight, and he looks to change games. He does look to go forward, and that'll do for me.
Nice stuff. Well, obviously, many people may or may not have seen that this week, we had a gentleman called Mamadou Doumbia, who we have already signed, who is a Malian. Basically, he turned 18 on the Tuesday. We signed him on the Thursday, which is why they didn't get him in the transfer window. But he is ours from July. And I have to say, most of what I've seen of him has been from the under-17s AFCON from last year and also the under-17s World Cup. I must confess, he's had a very difficult year because he's aged like Samuel Kalou on a night out, I have to say. But he does look, is a 6'3" frame who does not look like an 18-year-old, as I can see at the moment. But that would be exciting to see. But obviously, we're going to need more along the way. I think, unfortunately, we lost Reza with Signal there, but he made a point about Martins and said, I don't understand why we haven't seen so many minutes. For me, it's been Tom's shift to the 3-4-1-2 doesn't accommodate a Martins in quite the same way. You'd normally have a Martins maybe on the left or a Sema, but he's been injured, so you would have seen Martins most likely. Jack Fatanzi's been in, but he's been out and not available. And then you've had Asprilla, sorry, brain fart for a minute. You've had Asprilla on the right. Now we've only got the one playing in the middle through that 3-4-1-2. And I think he's seen his minutes limited because of that. I think when he's come on, he hasn't necessarily done it. But the less time you have, the more likely you are to snatch at things. So he came on, and I think the subs came on today and made a positive impact on the game. I thought they all came on and to quote Graham Taylor, they gave of their best. And there's not an awful lot we can ask for that. I do have to, before I let you go though, Rich, I didn't get a chance with Reza because of Signal, but I'm going to ask everybody else, who was your best, favourite, or however you like to think about it, what for goalkeeper other than Tony Cotton? We're taking him out of the running because otherwise everybody just says Tony Cotton. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I remember Andy Rankin and he was decent. I would probably say Kevin Miller as well, from remembering he was a tremendous shot stopper. And in those days, kicking wasn't part of the game like it is today. So it wasn't highlighted as much. He was a tremendous goalkeeper. We didn't get enough years out of him. And so I'd probably say Kevin Miller, with a nod to Andy Rankin, who I first got. So he was a smashing goalkeever as well. We've been blessed. We've had We've had some very good goalkeepers over the years. And there's plenty you could say. Chamberlain, still anyway, I'll shut up because it'll give other people the chance to have their say. But we've been fortunate, certainly through my life of watching Watford. Goalkeeping has always been a very high bar for us. Unfortunately, in recent years, not so. But there you go.
There you go.
Well today.
Lovely stuff. Well, it was lovely to see you at the Red Lion. Obviously, everybody's looking forward to also making sure that we can get back down and support the 1881 The Bunker as soon as possible, when you can enjoy a day out, which would be nice. That'd be great. Lovely stuff. Rich, thank you very much indeed for coming on. Cheers, mate. Let's get across to Oz, who came on at the same time from New Zealand. It's called Oz. It doesn't take very much to confuse us, as Oz knows. And this is what happened last time. So are you enjoying a warm climate currently?
Yes, it's just a chilly 30 degrees here at the moment. Oh, so yes, I am enjoying it.
Our heart absolutely. Well, because Oz came.
Oh, don't cry for me.
You're in Argentina. This is good. Other musicals are available. Oz was with us in the last home game in the bunker, and then said, "Oh, and by the way, I'm going off to the Caribbean." And then, are you going to be able to get back for Sunderland, or are the family going, "No, we're still three quarters of the way around the world"?
No, well, actually, I booked my ticket today for the Sunderland game,
brilliant stuff. Go on, carry on, sorry.
They're taking the bags from the airport, and I'm going from the airport straight to Watford.
Oh, look at this. This is the level of absolutely nonsensical commitment that we like to see. Well done, sir. Well done. Did you get to watch it today, or were you too busy trying to find
Yeah, I did watch it. No, I watched it on Hive Live. Yeah, well, it's a 10 o'clock in the morning kickoff here, so it's pretty easy to get up and watch it. So, yeah. I did watch the game. It was a bit of a basketball game, wasn't it, actually? It was back and forth in the second half anyways. Back and forth. It was pretty exciting. It's just no one could put the ball in the net.
It was a significantly more enjoyable nil than the one you previously had.
Only slightly.
That Preston game was, I have to say, it left me numb, let alone everybody else. Good grief. But there we go.
I said there's two players I'd like to mention. And
fire away.
First one, I mean, everyone's been talking about goalkeepers.
Mm.
And first of all, other goalkeepers that we've had that I had high hopes for, one of them was Eston Barson. Remember when we signed him?
And Oz is taking this theme on a walk all of his own. I like this. Go on, Espen.
He's one that I thought, oh, he's a good goalkeeper from Spurs. He'll do a good job for us. And then he decided to be a City banker instead, didn't he?
And he did. Didn't like football. And you can never trust people like that. What can I say? And yeah, so Espen Bardsson is one for the low bar. Uncle Ron is currently waiting to come on. I'm sure he'll see you and raise you. But who's the second?
Miller. Definitely Miller. He was fantastic. Didn't he have the record for... Was he the one who had the record for clean sheets? Or was that a different goalkeeper?
Oh, no, he did. He had something like 8 or 9... It was just ridiculous. He was just stopping things with sheer force of will and anything else he could do. But yeah, no, he was a cracking keeper. It was a shame he was only there for 2 seasons, 1-2 player of the seasons, and then got us £1 million having bought him for a quarter of that. So yeah, no, Kevin Miller, smashing stuff. What did you make of Mr. Backman today?
Oh, well, Backman today, when they got the penalty and it was 2 fans stepping up, I thought, if you can save this, I would give you a 5-year contract myself. And he saved it. So he's well worthy of that 5-year contract. That's what I think. Just from that save alone, I'll give it to him. Yes. So I'm just happy that it wasn't £2 who put the ball in the net again, because the last time he scored was from a penalty as well, wasn't it? So,
well, yeah. And we know, because it's football, scoring against your old team is almost, it's just like an inevitability, isn't it? So I'm not saying it was the best penalty in the world. You know, Wendover Orns might have had a chance, obviously, but not too fair.
From what I hear, he's just got a right foot and he's not that agile when it comes to saving, I thought, but there you go. That's my judgment of Wendover, even though I haven't really met him. The other person the player I'd like to talk about, I thought Rajovic, when he came on, the guy's definitely showing some improvement. And one thing I would say is he must be pretty good at free kicks in training if they're letting him take 2 in a row now,
yeah,
2 at home. So he's got something that we haven't seen yet. And I think it's just a little bit more training. He's come to this division for the first season, so I think give him some time. He's someone that we can use in set pieces. He's got the throw, even though really he should be on the end of it, not launching the ball in.
Yep.
And he's got a free kick as well. And we know how good we are when it comes to scoring from free kicks. So if we've got somebody who can take one reliably, then I think that's a good thing.
Use
him. And yeah, exactly. And with Tom Cleverley taking over, I would say yes. But when it comes, you look at our record when it comes to signing players, our squad's getting weaker and weaker every season. So
yeah,
I don't know what he's going to have to play with. And if anyone could handle a slightly weaker squad, it would be him rather than another manager from elsewhere, because they're expecting improvements and I don't know if they're going to get them. So Tom Cleverley knows what to expect of the club because he's been here so long. I think he could work with upcoming players. He knows the youth team players as well. And even though I know people have been complaining we haven't won a game yet, that's one statistic. Yeah, we haven't won, but we are showing improvement. There's the team are fighting for the cause. We're not conceding against the top teams. The only problem we've got is getting the ball in the net. So I think we're moving in the right direction. It's just, what do the owners do? That's the important thing, more than anything else, I think.
Lovely stuff. There is Oz from New Zealand in the Caribbean, currently enjoying weather and phoning in just to basically gloat, which is a very good thing indeed. I'm very pleased about that.
Course,
excellent
stuff.
Well, look, we look forward to seeing you against Sunderland. Crikey, talk about from the sublime to the ridiculous. Do now go off and obviously go and make a fuss of the family just to make sure that they don't do anything, you know, dodgy with the bags just to get you back for going to Watford Sunderland. That's important stuff. Oz, lovely to hear from you, sir. Yes. Go and enjoy your time away.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff. That's nice, isn't it? Goes off on holiday, comes to Watford, goes to, I think, Barbados, and then comes back again. Oh, this is the way to do it. This is definitely the way to do it.
Hi, I'm Stephen Gerrard, and you're listening to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Anyway, right, okay, we're going to be coming to Mr. Alan Lathwell, then we're coming to Martin, then we're coming to Uncle Ron, then we are coming to Chris Telfer, and then we're going to come to Shane and Nelly. So, guys, do stay with us, and we will come to you in time. Now, Alan Lathwell has done everything he could to get a win today. He's not turned up because on the basis that Norwich, he wasn't there and therefore we won. He's made every sacrifice, and Martin's, if he'd have scored, Alan may not have been allowed back in the ground just by us. Who knows? But Alan, you can come back. All is forgiven. How are you doing?
I'm really appreciative of the fact that I've got your best wishes in terms of coming back to Vicarage Road next week.
It's given only slightly resentfully, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's not too much on Watford today, but the reason, I don't know if you saw my message, but the reason why I thought I'd join you today was I've been at one of those bonkers games today.
Ooh. Is it non-league first of all? Yeah, we like a bit of non-league. Go on in, fire away.
I'll talk about this. I'll make a couple of comments on Watford. So I've been at a local game today, Elston Park, which is about 3 or 4 miles from the King Power, maybe a bit less, versus St Neots. It was a playoff semi-final, so promotion at stake to step 4 of the pyramid.
Was this first leg, or it's
only played over a single leg.
All right, okay.
So the crowd was, this is step 5, so the crowd was 597, which is a lot of people for that level, if anybody isn't so familiar with crowd numbers at non-league. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those bonkers games where literally everything that could have happened did happen, with goal line clearances, penalties, red cards, that you name it. But to give you a brief summary, the home team, Elston Park, took the lead 1-0. There was a decision for a penalty just before that wasn't given, a very similar decision to the one that Elston Park were given. Then a goalkeeping howler for the equaliser for the away team. And then a second goal late in the half for the home team with the goalkeeper onside to make it 2-1. And then it was one of those games where it's meandered in the second half. There was a red card for a second bookable offence for the away team. And then within a couple of minutes, there was a red card for a handball in the area for the home team, with the striker from St Neots putting it well wide. Greg would have scored it.
As he demonstrated today.
Yes, I did see that. I did see the first stage at halftime. Well done, Greg. And then the game's kind of drifted backwards and forwards until injury time, where the chaos truly commenced. Lots of chances, and then we had a Jimmy Glass moment.
Oh, the keeper scores.
We had the keeper from St Neots going up in the 5th minute of injury time to obviously put pressure on. They were 2-1 down. They needed to equalise to stay in the tie. And he's Jimmy Glassed it. It's fallen to him just on the edge of the area, and he smashed it into the roof of the net. Now, because it's a playoff game and there is no second leg, and actually there isn't any extra time, it's gone straight to penalties. And it's gone backwards and forwards. And we ended up in a situation where we did get to the eighth penalty. And Elston Park took the lead 7-6. And then what happens, the goalkeeper for St Neots, who now thinks he's an ace striker because he's scored deep into injury time, decides he's Billy big time now and he's going to step up and take their eighth penalty. And it was saved from hero to villain within the space of around 5 minutes. It was just bonkers. And it, as an advert for non-league football, honestly, if people aren't watching non-league football when they get the chance, do go and watch. Because, as Pete, we've spoken about it loads of times, and we've spoken about it on here, and others watch non-league football as well. It's just such tremendous value. And you're never sure exactly what you're going to get. It's like a Forrest Gump moment. It's like a box of chocolates. So, yeah. So missing the Watford game was made up for by watching an absolutely bonkers non-league game. So, yeah, really fun entertainment today.
What a roller coaster of emotions for the keeper. Keeps them in it, takes them to penalties, and then is the person who misses it. Ouch. It was the final, by the way, of the junior penalty shootout. Half-time was packed with fun today. We had AD Boothroyd. We had Wendover taking whatever.
I know, and I've missed all of it.
And it was great. It was cracking stuff.
Yeah, and I've missed a good performance by all accounts, but I must admit, sat there watching this game, and obviously I've got my notifications on my phone, and I have to say, we've had some great goals and some good moments this season, regardless of this disappointment we face. But nothing has filled me with as much pleasure of a notification that simply says, missed penalty, Ozan Toufan. There is a God. Honestly, there is a God, because he was a waste of space for us. So the fact that Dan Backman saved his penalty, and I hope it was a humdinger of a save, or was it just a really shit pen?
It was a good penalty for the goalkeeper, shall we say. It was a good penalty for the goalkeeper. I think that's reasonable. But hey ho, tis what it is. Tis what it is.
Yeah. In terms of the where it leaves us for this season, I've not been to the game. I'm only relying on the comments of others and things that I've seen on Twitter. It sounds as if, by and large, people enjoyed the day and the performance was encouraging. And yeah, we know where the weakness is. It's the fact that we can't find the onion bag at the other end. But what Tom has clearly done for us is given us some stability defensively and a platform for us to build upon. And it just remains to be seen with the remaining two games against Sunderland and Middlesbrough to see if he can get a win or two from the remaining two games, albeit both. I'm going to Middlesbrough away as well. And just see if we can finish this season on a high. And then just see what happens. I'm still a bit on the fence with regards to Tom. I think we have to recognise that he's done a very good job. But I still, with two games to go, I'm not sure we need to rush and make any sort of decision on his future just yet. But overall, one defeat. And that, as you said, was into Fergie time. And so he's done a decent job. It's just a shame we've not been able to convert more of these draws into wins.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I think most people, whichever way they are around Tom, i.e. sign him now or wait or wherever they are, I think everybody can acknowledge how he has held himself, his demeanour, all of his interviews, all of the stuff, and also the reaction that he has got from the players has been good, has been an absolute push in the right direction. But I think you've also got other people saying, well, just wait and see. Gain as much evidence as you can until you have to make the decision. And then at least any decision you're making is based on as much information as was available, rather than, and hey, we're as guilty about it as anybody, making a knee-jerk reaction after Birmingham, going, oh, well, that's it, give it to him, et cetera, et cetera. In a way, actually seeing him have to have not adversity, but he's having to deal with a little bit of sticky stuff, i.e. we haven't been able to score three times in the last five games. And it's, well, what else can we do? What else can we do? How do we go and solve that? Because it's more important in a way that if it is, as we have all, as many people have suggested this season, when we go into the final third, that is where we collapse under a weight in terms of our movement, our incisive, our the level of incision that we actually provide. We can see it's there. It has to be whoever has it, whoever takes the management role. It has to be something that, as Oz was saying there, that we look to support the manager in the transfer window. He has to be given better. Even when we were chatting to Dini a month or two ago, and he was saying positive things about young Rajovic, and he said, no, he probably wouldn't be my number one. You need to go and get better. And that was his comment. But he wasn't giving up on Rajovic. He was saying scoring that many goals in the Championship isn't actually easy. And so we can do that. However, I'd go and get better. And you go, fair enough. That's what we need to do. We need to go and help him.
An interesting one on the centre forward thing. A couple of years ago, Mark Harris at Peterborough was on fire. And he's dropped down into League One and hasn't been anywhere near as consistent a performer for them. But his contract is up at the end of this season. And it could be that a player like that does know his way around the Championship could be revitalised by a move. I wouldn't be against bringing in a player like that. I see that as a potential positive risk to take. I don't know what you think.
Well, I know I was chatting with Mike Duffy about him because he was an advocate of him literally over the last 18 months, 2 years, and saying, look, what he scores. I think we have to look at the balance of the team. We need to look at how Tom is going to want to play, if it is Tom, and if it's not, whoever the manager's coming in. And we need to start sticking square pegs in square holes in every element to it. Not just going, he's a forward, so here's a forward, go and make something out of that. And I appreciate that is the continental way of, we will go and source you players, go and get. But there are certain dynamics of styles of player that we need, and we need to provide that. To my understanding, with Ismail, he was offered players, but he felt that they didn't fit that dynamic. We need to make sure that whatever we're going to do is going to fit the dynamic of the manager going forward, and most importantly, in that final third, we need to get a cutting edge. And we all know that strikers who score goals are like hen's teeth currently. They really are. They really are. Yeah. Right.
Ordinarily, they cost a lot of money. And that's the commodity we do, which is another reason why I'd advocate taking a risk, in inverted commas, on a player like Clark Harris, because we're not going to have a lot to play with, and it would give another dimension for us at the top of the pitch. I think it'd be interesting if we could bring someone like that in, really.
Well, you look at Hull today, in the last 12 minutes, they made they made a treble substitution, which included Billy Sharp coming on. Now, people will go and turn around and say,
who's 425 years old, yeah.
He is, absolutely. But for 12 minutes, he knows his way around a penalty area. If it had fallen to him, there was nobody on that pitch who I would have trusted more to not do what Aspria did, which was today he was basically recklessly endangering people in the upper echelons of the rookery stand by taking the leather off of it. He will try and finish it low. We've got to move on because we've got loads of people there, Al. But I do need to ask you that question: who is your, barring Tony Cotton, your best, your favourite, or your just most liked Watford goalkeeper during your time of watching the game at Watford?
Yeah, I think Rich said we've been quite fortunate with goalkeepers that we've had over the years, and we've had some interesting goalkeepers as well, haven't we?
Yes.
Tempted just for the hilarity of it, for those that remember Plumlee, but I won't go down that route, and I probably am going to be a little bit obvious, but I think it's in terms of his character, his commitment to the club, what he gave us over the years he was with us, I've got to say Aurelio Gomez. Just what a legend. Just all round good guy. And I think we miss having somebody of that caliber in our squad, whether they're playing or not playing. I just think it's a shame that we don't have someone like that now, really.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Well, this is a day for kind of discussing the goods and the bads of goalkeepers. We've had Jimmy Glass referenced, and we've also had what I have to say must be the greatest celebrator of goals from a goalkeeping position, Aurelio Gomez named, but also Kevin Miller about three or four times, which is very good. Let's get to Martin, find out how things are at Yellow Brick Road way, and also find out who he thinks would be a good guy. I'm gonna pin you straight here, Martin. I'm gonna ask you for your favourite goalkeeper. I don't think you'd be remembering Tony Cotton, surely. I think you're far too young for that.
Oh,
you're welcome. Who's gonna be your favourite or your best goalkeeper while supporting Watford?
Well, I go for someone in through my childhood, or do I go someone more recent?
Well, the good thing here is that's your choice.
I've got to go for Alec Chamberlain for me. Top guy, top keeper. So, yeah, for me, it's Alec Chamberlain.
Nice. I thought I did suspect that Alan was going for Alec Chamberlain when he was talking about commitment to the club, because, of course, Chambo, a lot of people won't have seen him playing goal. They'll just remember him from being the goalkeeper coach for about 128 years or whatever it was. But there we go. Anyway, enough of such nonsense. How are you, and what did you think of today? Did you get to see it?
Well, I was impressed with Backman. He's my man in the match today. I left it in my five-word review. Okay. I just thought, do you know what? I know a lot of fans will say that we haven't won in seven games. Well, we got one win in seven games. But with the teams we've played, you've got to say Tom Cleverley's doing a hell of a job. Getting results against a lot of the big sides in the top 10. And like one of your previous callers said, that if we got Tom in before, like when we had Huddersfield Millwall, we might have got a couple of more wins. So for me, I think you got to give Tom the job.
There you go. That's very assertive in terms of saying, no, you've done enough. That's fine. But presumably you're going to be okay if we leave it till the end of the season, providing, because the danger that people have said is that, like, you know, other clubs could come in and show an interest.
Well, that's it, isn't it? We don't know if he's already been offered a job and it would be released into this last game of the season, but I think he's got the job.
Very good. Very good. So other than Dan Backman and the fact that you've just appointed Tom Cleverley manager in perpetuity for the next however many years, what else did you make of things? What do you think about the cutting edge, the final third today? Because, there were lots of efforts going in from long range into the rookery. Not really troubling the keeper.
No, it's a bit frustrating. But like I say, we need in the summer to recruit better finishers and hopefully get rid of Bio. I know he had a good game today, but he's hardly scored this season. I think he's got to go. But somebody I think it was your last call, the guy from Peterborough. I would take a punt on him. He's a good striker. I think we've been linked with him before. And if he's on a free, definitely, you got to go somewhere like that. We need clinical strikers who can put the ball in the net.
Yeah, I'm trying to think with Clark Harris how old he is now. I think he's 29. There we go, which is still, you could do something with that. He's had 78 goals in 163 performances for Peterborough, so he's getting a shout out. Now, I do remember at one point, I think you had linked us with a player currently in the Championship with Ryan Hardy of Plymouth, unless I'm wrong. Do you know if there was any, was that just a rumour that you caught, Hal, or do we think that there may be some substance, and is that entirely dead? Because there's a player who knows about quality of movement.
I know we were in talks with him. Obviously, my cousin's a journalist, but because obviously they were keeping an eye of it, then that's why the deal fell through. But if Plymouth go down, it's definitely an option. I think we could look at Hardy, definitely.
Oh, I think he's a super little player. Really do. His movement in both games this season against us was very troubling for a back line who weren't being troubled at the time. And yeah, we sure were with him.
But no, I think Plymouth have got a few little gems, haven't they? I think they're in a bit of trouble this season now. If they go down, definitely to look at Plymouth, a couple of their little gems we could bring into the club.
Whittaker is the one who's going to get the big move, I would suggest, and he would be outside.
Whittaker and Hardy.
Yeah, those two would be difficult, but there we go. So presumably, from a Spaces point of view, you're back Monday night, I'm presuming?
Yeah, Monday night, 7:15, we'll be going over the game. We've got a special guest, I believe, who Jordy's sorted out to come on to speak with us. Yeah. And then later in the week, we'll be doing a podcast later in the week, I think Thursday evening, to go through Spotify and YouTube.
Lovely stuff. Excellent stuff. Well, do go and give that a listen with Martin and with Jordy and occasionally with Rio. I don't think he was there the other day, but they're all there. Go and give them a listen. Let's get across to Florida and speak to Uncle Ron, because obviously today a player much maligned, or a goalkeeper much maligned, has had a pretty standout performance. We have also said one swallow does not make a summer, so we need to see some consistency, some repeating of that, please, Mr. Backman, ideally. But Uncle Ron, sir, if you want to hit your mic button and let us know what your thoughts were for today. Again, another game without a win, but what were your thoughts on the game at Vicarage Road this afternoon?
Well, good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, sir.
I feel like an alien visitor from the planet Zog.
Right, okay.
I am completely baffled by the praise that is being handed out today. It's one win in seven. This football club have not won a home game in the second division since November of last year. And we are now nearly in May of the following year. It's a disgrace, Peter. It's appalling. It's as bad as anything we had to suffer under the likes of Perryman and Rhoda. I'm completely baffled. Cleverley today said something along the lines of, at the end of the game, that they only started playing the last half an hour. Well, that's down to him. He gives the team talk. He's the one who plays Bio, who provides no goal threat whatsoever. He's the one who starts him every game. It's appalling, Peter. Are the standards that low that people are happy with this? Because I'm not, and I'm sickened by it. I really am. Have they been brainwashed? Is there something in their water? Because it's horrific. And this is a football club in the second division who do never win a home game.
Well, there you go. It was, I think we look at this at the moment as under Tom, and I appreciate we're going to go round in circles from last week, which was, as I mentioned, we won one game in the last 11. That's not good, and it's not a good reflection on the club, on the transfer window, or the players that he has available. We've been speaking today about the fact that it's been our failure in the final third, and that he needs to have, whoever the manager is, needs to have options that will create goals, which in turn create results, which in turn provide wins. So I don't necessarily disagree with your point about it being, I don't think unacceptable is quite the right word that I'm going to not quite select here, but it not being good enough, it needing to be improved upon. I think we get that. However, there is also an appreciation, or an understanding, should we say, rather than appreciation, of the financial situation. Do we like that? No. Do we think that could be improved upon by having another owner coming forward? Or could this be the time for the Pozzo era to maybe kind of transition to a new ownership model, should we say, or a new ownership? I think that's reasonable. However, I think that we as a supporter base also look at the game itself, which is typically somebody once described to me and said, rugby fans like to go and watch a good game, whoever wins, whereas football fans just like to win. I don't think that's entirely fair on either side. I think both sports will want their team to win, but I understand what they mean. But I think we are looking at this as the game and looking at the entertainment that was bereft since Boxing Day from the Ishmael team. And we are looking at a certain element about that there are certain component parts that have improved under Tom. And I think that's reasonably there. You yourself have called out the squad that we had earlier on in the season and said, well, look, this could be a relegation battle. And I think prior to the Birmingham game, I think a lot of people, certainly me included, looked at that and went, you could be quite correct here in the end, because it looked like this particular squad were downing tools. We're now picking up points in the majority of games, notwithstanding, obviously, the Southampton defeat. I get entirely your point about no single home win acceptable since November. No, it's not, which is why Ishmael has been fired. But we can't blame Tom for all of the defeat or the lack of home wins since November, because he hasn't been in charge since November. Actually, he hasn't, to my thought, no, he hasn't lost a home game. He's just drawn too many. So the question is, if I can push it back to you, is it Tom's management in what you've seen? I appreciate you're saying, well, he's selecting bio. Well, he's gone with two up front, which a lot of people have asked for, as he did today with Dennis. Would you have selected Rajovic, or are we saying that it's actually the dearth of the recruitment is actually the problem rather than necessarily labelling it Tom? Is that a fair supposition?
Squad is poor. The main problem is the owner. But with what he has, Rajovic should be starting ahead of Bayo. He's scored more goals than him. We saw today when Rajovic came on, he had a very good effort. Bayo does not look like scoring. So that's one thing that could be changed. I'm not putting this all on Tom Cleverley. I'm really not. I'm just saying, in my opinion, he hasn't shown anything to me that suggests he should be appointed a manager on a permanent basis. That's my viewpoint, and I strongly believe it.
I will, and I have fought for your chance to say exactly your viewpoint, yes, exactly as you say. Yes. Got no problem. But like all things, we'll have a chat about it because we like to do that. You know, you called out the squad and the paucity and the weakness. I think we ended up having one debate whether or not it was lean or skeleton. And then I finally came back at the end of the January transfer window and said, yeah, no, that's skeleton now. There's only 22 players. I think there is a lack of options. I think there is a requirement to invest. There is also a requirement, as was said earlier on, because we know what the money situation is. There is a requirement here, I think, to box clever. Now, you referenced Glenn Roeder and Steve Perryman, times when money wasn't flush and players certainly weren't flush and they were turned for a profit if ever there were the opportunity. But one of the things we did at the time was utilised the academy better, bought through our own players. It wasn't called an academy back in the 90s. It was called Development Centre or whatever it was. And I think we need to see some real kind of, we need to box clever. We need to cleverly bring in players, blends of experience, blends of youth from, yes, absolutely from the academy, or as you were advocating for the last two seasons, I have to say, making some intelligent purchases from the potentially the lower two divisions and maybe the Vanarama, as it's now known, the National League. I think you're absolutely right with that. I think Tom has taken to first team management, for me, like a duck to water. And if he got more of a cutting edge, I think we'd have seen something there. So I think I've been encouraged with what he's done, but I fully appreciate that you look at it. As we said last week, seven games and he's only won one. And he's not won one now in six games. And we were saying he hasn't lost a game. But of course, then the last minute game goes in. It's a game of fine margins, we know. But your point about November and what that means to the club is because the support has to come from within the club. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean fortunes, because again, and I'm going back 18 months, 2 years, pre-season, not this season, but the season before, and we were having conversations about it, and you were saying, well, look at Burnley at that time. They're going and signing players, they're bringing in players, they're performing activity, and it doesn't always have to cost a lot of money, but you need to bring in the right players at the right time. So there we go. We will see what happens. Your suggestion that we mentioned previously was Michael Skubala at Lincoln. I know somebody went to watch the Lincoln game at Oxford in the week and said the football was slightly less than enjoyable. But today we saw, I don't know if you got to see it, but at halftime, A.D. Boothroyd was brought out. It was a heck of a halftime regarding that. What's your memories of A.D. Boothroyd in terms of that first season for us? That must have been some of your prime supporting season, surely.
Yes, I saw every game that season, home and away, and it was incredible. And Peter, I maintain that A.D. Boothroyd getting that promoted that season was the greatest achievement by any Watford manager in the club's history. We've had many seasons before and people won't like it, what I'm going to say, I don't care, under Ray Lewington, where the club had a loser mentality, where there were many people, as they are now, happy to see us as a small club bumbling around in 15th place. And I well remember the howls of outrage when Graham Simpson sacked Lewington, the howls of outrage. And Boothroyd had the guts, which Lewington would never have done, to sell Helgerson. And he built a whole new team with that. Wonderful players, Marlon King, Spring. It was a fantastic season. Great, the greatest ever achievement by a Watford manager. I love A.D. Boothroyd.
The greatest single achievement in a single season by a Watford manager. I think that's a great one to be discussing through the close season. And of course, that's not maligning Graham Taylor, because you're saying in one single season. Cool. Do we put coming second in 82, 83? There's going to be more discussions about this. Uncle Sir, have a great rest of the weekend out there in Florida. It is absolutely fine that people come on with differing opinions. In fact, I absolutely love the fact that people come on with differing opinions. Otherwise, let's face it, otherwise this would be very short in the first instance.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.